Well, why don't you grab your bulletin here? One other thing I wanted, bulletin, got worship guide. The team will get mad at me for calling it that. I'm old school. Your worship guide. The other thing I wanted to highlight is we are entering into Easter week. As Dave said, Passion Week, Holy Week. We have, we're going to be opening the building on Good Friday from noon to 1 p.m. And we're going to have some guided prayer time just as we reflect on what Good Friday means and what Jesus did on our behalf, but also in just praying for Easter services and what God wants to do in and through our church this Easter season. So I'd encourage you, maybe you're off because it's Good Friday. I know it's spring break week, but would encourage you just to come, even if it's just for a little bit on your lunch hour, come over, pray with us for a bit. Our team will be here. We'll have the auditorium open and just some music playing, and then we'll help kind of guide you through that with some opportunities to pray. So we'd love to see you there. And this is the beginning of Passion Week of Easter, and this is where Jesus is preparing, you know, to complete his mission. Again, his mission started on Christmas when he was willing to leave heaven and his glory and to insert himself into humanity and to live a sinless life with a purpose and a mission. And Jesus was very clear about what that mission was and why he came. And that mission was to seek and save lost people. He said, that's why I've come. Here's my whole purpose. And so today, I just want to tell you as we get started today, if you are a found person, if you have found Christ and received Christ and made him Lord and Savior of your life, it's not about you anymore, right? Because once you've been found, can I just tell you something? I hate to burst your bubble. Doesn't mean God doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. But Jesus is more concerned about those who are still lost. Well, how do you know that? Because that's what he said. I've come. This is why I've come, to seek and save lost people. So if you've been found, welcome to the family. Man, welcome to the kingdom of God. But this week is not about us. Easter is not a celebration for the saints. I mean, we do celebrate Jesus and we give him glory. But man, Easter should motivate us to be about the mission of Jesus. You see, our world is getting darker. There's wars across the globe. There's terrorist attacks happening all over the place. There's economic hardships. There's biblical values that are no longer accepted or even tolerated in our world. Secular values that are being embraced and normalized. And there's seems to be constant political tension and challenges that we're facing. I mean, I could go on and on about the challenges of our world and the evil that exists and the darkness that seems to be kind of continuing to close in around us. And so as followers of Jesus, when we notice that the world is darker in our workplace where we work and in our neighborhoods and whatever that may be, right? We have to ask ourselves a question like, well, what would Jesus want us to do about that issue, right? Do we just run and hide and bury our head in the sand and get in our little Christian bubbles and go, hey, I'm gonna do everything I can to protect myself from this darkness? Is that what we do? Do we just get on social media and complain about it and say, man, the world is dark and there's a lot of stuff going on in our world and point fingers? Do we, again, just ignore it altogether and isolate? What should we do? And Jesus makes it clear when we think about a dark world and what we've been called to do. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, and this is very familiar to us, Jesus said this, you are the light of the world. That is what you are. And he says, this is, you know, when you're a light, you don't hide it, right? You let it shine. You put it out there for all to see, right? And so he challenges his followers. He says, listen, when the world seems to be getting darker, it's an opportunity for you to shine even brighter. And a little bit of light goes a long way in the darkness. So he says, so let your light shine. Let your good deeds stand for truth. Man, be vocal about Jesus and allow that to bring glory to your Father in heaven. And this is not optional things for followers of Jesus. This is what he's commanded us and called us to do. And so I would challenge us with this thought today that if we hide our light or we allow our light to go out and we don't shine our light for all to see, then what hope is there for our world? What hope is there for the mission that Jesus died for? To seek and save lost people. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. He said, don't forget, right? You were once in darkness too. But now you are in the light of the Lord. You were lost, but now you have been found. So here is your charge then, since you've been found, to live as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, right? Find out what pleases the Lord. Do those things. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Bring light to the dark world. I think it's interesting that Paul starts out this charge. Hey, you're to be the light. You're to live as the light. You're to expose the darkness. That he challenges us to remember that you too were once in the darkness before too. To remind ourselves of where we came from and to remind ourselves what God has done in our lives and what he did on our behalf when he went to the cross should motivate us to keep being the light of the world, to keep reaching people who are living in darkness. We can't forget, this is near and dear to the heart of Jesus, right? When he was talking about his return and those who were waiting for Jesus to come back, because that's what happens in a dark world, right? It just makes us, it should make us long even more for Jesus to return, to rescue us from the evil that we're in. And he made the statement, 2 Peter said, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise to come back, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's being patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone. Those who are in the dark, those who seem to be evil, he says, I want everyone to come to repentance. Those we like, those we dislike, those we agree with, those we don't agree with, his heart is for them to come to know Jesus. And how cool is it that we have this opportunity to give Jesus the desire of his heart? And so on this Palm Sunday, as we reflect on what Jesus was willing to do on our behalf, I would challenge us to think that one of the best things, maybe the greatest thing we could do for Jesus, is to be the light of the world, to be carriers of his hope, to share this message of Easter with those who are far from him. There's a parable found in Luke 14. And as we look at this parable, I want to remind you, a parable always has God in it somewhere. There's someone that will represent God and then someone that will represent you and me. And so in Luke 14, he's talking about this banquet and his table and this party that he's throwing. And it starts with verse 16, and it says, Jesus replied, a certain man, and I know it's spring break Sunday, so I'm going to remind you, that certain man was God, okay? I'm just going to just give you a heads up right there. A certain man was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. And so Jesus is describing someone who's preparing a great banquet. They've sent out invitations, right? They put up their e-invite. They sent out the emails. They sent out the massive text messages. They sent out RSVPs, saved the dates. Now the invitations have been sent. He's saying there's this great party, and many have been invited to come. And again, this man represents God, and this amazing invitation that he has sent out to all people, regardless of their social status, regardless of their background, regardless of the issues they may be facing. And he's saying, there's an invitation that's been sent, and anyone is welcome to come. But he begins to tell his servants that we have to prepare for this event. And it says that he was preparing for this. How many of you, you know, like when you're having people over to your house, right? It's like you take your cleaning game to the next level a little bit, right? You clean things you don't normally clean if it's just maybe family, but you're hosting a birthday party. You're going to have people over, right? You're dusting the baseboards. You're looking at, we got to clean the ceiling fan. Look at the ceiling fan, right? And like someone is actually going to sit in your house and notice your ceiling fan. Let me give you a tip, right? If you don't want to clean your fan, just keep it running. You can't even see how dirty it is, right? Just turn it on. But like you go extra, you're cleaning up, you know, you mow the grass. You want everything to look good because you're inviting guests to come over. And you want your house to be prepared for when the guests come. Are you following me, right? And this is what he's saying. And here's what is in your notes, right? Like, he has tasked us. We're going to see. He's talking to his servants here. And God has given us the task. And because we've been found, because we're already in the family, because we are now his servants, he tells us that we are to be the ones to prepare the house for his guest. And that's what we do every week here at Adventure Church. There's hundreds of volunteers that come and serve and prepare this house, God's house, every week for the guests that are going to come. Again, I said at the beginning, if you're already found, right, we welcome you. We're glad you're a part of God's family. But, right, our purpose as found people is to serve those who haven't been invited in yet. So everything we do here on a Sunday morning is always viewed through the lens of someone coming for the first time. That we want to be prepared for the guests that are coming into God's house. And I just want to, again, pause and say thank you to those of you who help us do this week in and week out. It takes hundreds of people to accomplish this on a Sunday, from the parking lot to the cafe team, the worship team, the media production team, our kids team, the host teams, right? There's so many people that it takes to get God's house ready for his guest. And to you who have done that and embrace that, to you, we say thank you for doing that, being a part of what God wants to do. But I want to make you aware that we do have a need this upcoming Sunday, and I told the team I would share it with you. It's a unique time when Easter falls on spring break. It's always a challenge to get enough volunteers that we need when we're anticipating as many guests. Typically, our normal Sunday morning attendance will double for Christmas and Easter, right? It's when the average person comes to church 1 to 2 times a month. Not you guys, of course, but that's for average people. Those are the ones who are sitting on a beach somewhere right now for spring break. We're not mad at you, we promise. No, we still love you. But everybody typically comes at Easter. And at Christmas, they want to show up, be a part of what's happening. And so because of that, there's always a greater need, but there's an even greater need this year because Easter fell on spring break week. And so right now, we're about 20 volunteers short in KidVenture, where the team came to me and said, hey, if we don't hit this number, we're going to have to close some of our rooms for Easter. There'll just be no way that we can do that. And so we would start with elementary students, and elementary kids would just have to come into service with their parents. And I don't know about you. I don't want that to happen. You know, I don't think parents want that to happen. And so, but that's just the reality of we want to make sure that we can serve our guests, and it takes people to do that. Our host team still needs about 25 people to greet and hold doors and help people find seats and to do those things that we need to do. And with Easter, it's a little bit different because we have a Saturday night service. And so you can attend Saturday night, serve Sunday, serve Saturday, attend Sunday and still do that. And your team leads can help you understand which services have the greatest needs, because we can't all serve you know, and come to the service of our choice, right? We have to be willing to do what we're going to even learn more about here to serve, because Easter isn't about us. It's about his guests who have yet to come to his table. And so we serve and we do that. And so there's opportunities. There should be, have been at some point a QR code. If there wasn't, you can get on our website. You can contact us. You can stop by the Welcome Center. But if you've never served on a team, this would be a great time to do it, so that we can show our guests, that we can show our community what Adventure Church is all about. Appreciate you being willing to do that, to help us out. Jesus goes on in his story, and he says, at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Right? This is where you got the house ready. You got the candle burning. It's good to go. You guys following? Like, he's, hey, everything's ready. Now you can tell people it's time for them to come. It said, but they all alike began to make excuses. Not have time to get into the context of all this, but I can just tell you they're all lame excuses, okay? So he says this, first, I just bought a field. I must go and see it. Who buys a field without seeing it first, right? It'd be like you saying, hey, I was going to come to your party. I really wanted to come, but I bought a house last week and I haven't seen it yet. So we're not going to be able to make it, right? Then he says this. He said, you know, or I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. It's, again, this would be like you saying, you know, I was going to show up. I promise you I was going to come. But we bought a car last week and we haven't driven it yet. And so I'm going to have to go drive it just to make sure we like it. Like, this is it. Then he says, or another said, I just got married, so I can't come. I got a commitment to my family. I can't show up. And again, these are excuses, you know, and we have, come on, I've heard some doozies from y'all sometimes too. Oh, pastor, we were going to come, you know, we really wanted to, but it was 75 and sunny. It's the number one reason people miss church. Do you know that? It's good weather. It's just so, you understand, right? I mean, come on, if you didn't have to be there, you would have been on the boat too. I mean, it's just, let's face it, right? Or the second reason is bad weather, right? We were going to come. It was sprinkling, you know. My wife's hair, it frizzes out. So she was like, we're staying home. Like, we'll just watch online, you know. We all have our excuses of why we don't come. And that's what Jesus is saying here, right? He said, people are going to have excuses. And this is kind of a sidebar to the message today and the emphasis of it. But how would you feel if you were Jesus? Think about this. And this Holy Week, this Passion Week, you went to the cross so that the veil could be torn, so that God's children could be in right relationship with him, so that you could have an opportunity to come into God's house, to sit at his table, to fellowship with your brothers and sisters in the family of faith, to receive the grace and forgiveness and mercy of God, to experience the presence of God in a tangible way. And you go, ah, Jesus, appreciate you getting everything ready for me. House looks great, but I ain't coming. Right? That's a pretty lame excuse considering what Jesus did on our behalf to get his house ready for his people. So let's not take that for granted. Amen? This opportunity we have, and it's spring break week. I get it, right? If it wasn't for Easter, I would have been on spring break too. So I'm not saying that. You're going to miss, but let's make being in God's house a priority. Let's not take it for granted. And so Jesus, again, is speaking about people's excuses as to why they couldn't come to his house. But come on, many of us have our excuses as why we won't go to tell others about it. So the servant came back in verse 21 and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry. He ordered his servant. He said, look, these people, they're making me mad. They're ticking me off. They said they were coming. Now they're not showing up. Go out. Go quickly into the streets, the alleys of the town. Bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And first, let me just say, how many of you are thankful that the invitation to come into the God's house and to come and sit at the table with Jesus is open to everyone? I know I'm thankful he invited me. I'm thankful he continues to allow me to sit at his table, to be a part of his family, to have right relationship with him. And he's telling his servants, again, these are people, these are found people. His servants are people who are already in the house. They're already a part of the family. And he's saying, you got to go out into the streets, because here's the reality. Jesus cannot fill his house by himself. He needs his servants, the found people, the saved people, to go out. And he says, and you got to do this quickly, because time is of the essence. The world is getting darker. We can't put this off. This isn't something that can wait. Go back out right now. Because his will is that none should perish. Because he came to seek and save lost people. Listen to me. Jesus doesn't want to sit around an empty table. Luke 14, he goes on in verse 22. It said, sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done. We did it. But then he says, but thankfully, there's still room. The master then said to his servant, well, go out into the roads now, the country lanes. Hey, you went into the city streets. Now go out on the back roads. Go to the rural country lanes. And then he uses this word. He says, and compel them to come in. Compel them, because I want my house to be full. I don't want anyone to perish. He says, salvation is for all people. Anyone can come. We are his messengers. We are the servants of the King who has sent us out to invite people to the table of forgiveness and grace and purpose. Why? Because Jesus, come on, he wants his house to be filled. Because he did a lot to get his house ready. He was willing to be nailed to a cross so that his house would be ready, so that those who are lost could be found. And can I tell you something? The reason we built this building was not so that the saints, the found people, could be more comfortable. The reason why people sowed generously for years and invested in this mission was so that we could enlarge our capacity, so that we could go out into our community and invite people to come in and be a part of the kingdom of God, the family of God. And if you look around, there's plenty of chairs, especially today, more than most, but we're going to add another 200 chairs in here this week. We'll have it completely filled with chairs. And can I tell you something? Jesus doesn't want to sit around an empty table. He wants every chair in his house to be filled. Why? Because he wants to see lost people find him. We know this is important because the next chapter of Luke, Jesus is telling more parables, and it's the familiar ones that some of you probably know, where he talks about the lost sheep. And he says, when a shepherd loses just one sheep, he'll go and get that one sheep, and he'll rejoice over finding that. He talks about one coin that's lost, and that you'll tear the whole house apart to find that valuable coin. And then he shares the story about the prodigal son. And we learn that Jesus is very concerned about just one of his kids who's not at home, who's not sitting around the table in his house. And come on, if it concerns Jesus, it should concern us. What are you doing personally to reach people who don't know Jesus? When's the last time you had a conversation with someone who's lost, who doesn't know Jesus, and you shared about the hope you have in Jesus? Because Jesus said, you got to compel them to come in. And we believe here at Adventure Church, it's a value, it's on our wall, it's what we believe. It's what I say at every welcome party for the last 10 and a half years. We believe everyone can reach someone. It's not your responsibility to reach everyone. But a lot of times we'll do for no one because we feel like we can't do it for everyone. What if you did for one what you wish you could do for everyone? I love how Andy Stanley says that. Like, you can't reach everyone, but you can reach someone. And so we're going to encourage you. Everyone can reach someone. And if you don't have lost people that you can reach in your life, you need to get out more. You need to be around lost people. And you go, you're the light of the world. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. What do you do with your light? You go into dark places and you let your light shine. But he says, compel them. I believe everyone can reach someone. I believe everyone should reach someone. Why? Because it's what Jesus commanded us to do. So we say things like this, invite everyone, but come on, bring someone. Who's one person? What's one family you can say, you know what? I'm going to go all in with them. God's put them in my life. They're going through a difficult time. I know they've got some struggles. Man, I just know they need an encounter with Jesus. I'm going to do everything I can to reach this one person. Who could that be? And I know this is challenging. I know it's not easy. I know it can be awkward sometimes. Think about it for me. Hey, come to my church and listen to me preach. Come and experience this, right? You go, well, how do you really compel someone? I was thinking about that this week. Like, compel, I mean, that's like urgency. He's like, you got to go quick. You can't wait on these things because no one's guaranteed tomorrow. You got to go now and you got to compel them. You don't go, hey, if you want to come, here you go. Right? It's not that. That doesn't compel me much. Hey, you know. Leave it on the table with a smiley face for your waitress. Hey, you know, come. You should do all those things, right? But that's inviting everyone. But bringing someone, compelling. What is the most compelling words that you could share with someone? Is your story. It's the most compelling thing that you have. Think about that, right? Your story. We saw a stat this week. Pastor Ben shared it with me. 75 to 90% of people come to church because someone shared their story with them, invited them. Think about this when it comes to things that you love, right? That's why we asked you to leave a Google review. Again, only if it's 5 stars, right? Last time I asked people to do it, we had a review that just said, Life Point better, period. I was like, what? And I said, they're probably right, but do you gotta leave that on our Google thing? But you leave reviews, right, of experiences that you loved, right? You go to a restaurant and you love it. You're like, oh, my God. Have you guys been to Kitchen Social? See, some people are like, oh, yeah. They had those cheddar biscuits. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's manna from heaven. It's like, it's good stuff, right? Like, you've eaten somewhere and you're like, this is an amazing experience. I just got to tell someone about it. Like, you go to work, you're like, you wouldn't believe this experience was amazing. We went to this concert. We saw this show, this movie. It's amazing. We share things that we're excited about and passionate about. Your story about Jesus, if you're really understanding what Easter means, what Jesus did for you, come on. You should be excited to share your story. I love how Peter said it. Chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, he said, but you are the ones chosen by God. Here's what he's saying. You've been found. Are you grateful that Jesus invited you to his table? That someone shared Jesus with you? He said, and you've been chosen now for this high calling of priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people. Look at this. God's instruments to do his work, to speak out for him, to tell others the night and day difference he made for you. Come on, here it is. From nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. That is what he did for you. That is the most compelling story you could ever share. That is why Paul told the church at Ephesus, look, don't forget, you were once in the dark, bound to your sin, sentenced to eternal life in hell forever, but come on, you've been brought into the light. So you better let your light shine. You better expose the darkness around you. I'm thankful that Jesus took the 14-year-old me from nothing to something. From rejected to accepted. I found Christ because of a teenage girl that invited my sister to come to church with her. And my sister then brought me to come. And then we came, and my parents came, and were radically saved and transformed. And my life has never been the same. Friends, you have a compelling story to share with people who love you and trust you, and you have an opportunity to share it with them, especially this week, to bring them to a place that I pray you're excited about, that I hope you gave a good Google review to know that everything we do is going to be with them in mind, that you can trust us with them, and we're going to share Jesus. We're going to invite them to the table. I'm so excited about the message that God has given me. It is finished. What that means to someone who's struggling and down and out and away from Jesus. Come on. Jesus didn't say, you got to save them. He said, just get them to my house. Just bring them in. And that's what I want to tell you to do, right? We're going to trust that Jesus is going to do what only he can do. I can't save anyone. It is the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. But Jesus can't fill his house by himself. He needs his servants to go, to bring them in. You go, I don't know, Kyle, it just kind of pulls me out of my comfort zone. When did we think that following Jesus would be comfortable? Have you read the Gospels, right? Come and die. Lay down your life. Pick up your cross. Turn the other cheek. Give it all away. It's not comfortable to follow Jesus. But I'm telling you, Christians who are most fulfilled in this world are the ones who are most engaged in the mission and focused on the world that's to come. And if you lack fulfillment in your walk with God, if you lack excitement about the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus Christ, come on. You got to pray, God, give me that hunger again. Remind me of where you've brought me from and what you've done in my life. God, help me to be your light. It's what we're commanded to do. In fact, I think the definition of selfishness when it comes to being a follower of Jesus is being saved but refusing to be sent. What are you saying when we do that? Well, thank you for saving me. And I know that's your heart, but hey, I'm just going to keep this to myself. I'm just going to hold this for me. And he said, no, no, no. You've been saved and you've been sent. We are his servants to bring people into his house because his will is that none would perish. And his mission that he has commissioned you with in the Great Commission, right, is that word go. Go into your world. Preach the gospel. Invite people to be a part of my kingdom. The band's coming, and we're going to close out this morning. And as we do, I want to read to you one final passage. It's in the book of Romans, and it's from the Apostle Paul. And we started watching a Right Now media video series with the kids, and Jess could tell you what it is, so you can ask her afterwards. I don't remember the name of it, but this guy goes on adventures, and, you know, it's very interesting, and he's kind of taking us through the adventure of the book of Romans and what was happening, and And we're reading through Romans with the kids, and the first time we did it a few weeks ago, and this just hit me differently, and I shared it with our staff the next morning in our staff devotions, and I wanted to read it to you today, and I want you to focus on this word that Paul uses. And he says this in verse 14. He says, I am obligated. Everybody say obligated. Obligated, right? It's an interesting word. He said, I'm obligated to both Greeks and non-Greeks, right? He's saying to the Jew and the Gentile, to the wise and the foolish. He's saying to everyone, I'm obligated. He said, that's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to those of you who are in Rome. And Paul's writing, he's saying, I'm trying my best to get to you, to share the gospel with you, and there's just been things that are preventing me from coming. And he's saying, but I feel this obligation. In verse 16, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what Jesus did for me. I got a story that I want to share with you. And if you know anything about Paul's story, I mean, he was saved from a pretty dark background. He was killing Christians for their faith in Jesus, has a dramatic encounter with Jesus, transforms his life. And he says, I'm not ashamed of what God did because I know, because I've experienced it. I got a story to tell you. It's the power of God that brings salvation. Here it is to everyone who believes. First the Jew, and now to you. He's writing the Romans, to you, the Gentiles. It's for you. This word obligated, it just stuck out to me. I wrote it down. I put a note in my phone. I said, this is it, because at Adventure Church, we believe we get to do this, right? We get to serve. We get to be the servants of God. We get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It's a cultural values of our. We get to do this. We get to give. We get to serve. What a privilege to have been invited to the table of God, to be a servant in the kingdom of God, to be a part of what God is doing in the world. It is a privilege. But man, when this stuck out to me, it said, I don't just get to. Paul said, I have to. You go, well, what do you mean, Paul? Why are you obligated? And if you know Paul's story, right? Paul's saying, listen, I'm obligated. I have to. What he's saying is, he goes, I owe him. I owe him everything. Because he chose me. I was literally advancing the kingdom of darkness, and for whatever reason, he stopped me on my way. And he spoke to me, and he revealed to me who he was, and he invited me in, and he forgave me, and he gave me a purpose. He says, I'm indebted. He went to the cross for me, for my sin. Man, it hit different today in worship, knowing what I was going to preach. And I'm just lifting my hands, King of glory. God, thank you that you made this possible, that you chose me. I'm obligated. Friend, can I just tell you, when you consider what he's done for you, where he saved you from, the promise he's given you in eternal life, we're all obligated. It's not an option. And it shouldn't be something we easily dismiss. I have to tell you about what Jesus has done for me. When's the last time you shared your story? You invited a friend, prayed for someone. We owe them. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I want to give you an opportunity today. If you're sitting here and even the conviction of the Holy Spirit right now, you're just sensing, I'm not right with God. I'm not living with him. I know that he made a way for me, but I'm not sitting around his table. I'm not in right relationship with him. Another illustration Jesus uses, he says, I stand at the door and I knock, and if you'll let me come in, I've invited you, but I need you to invite me in to your life. And he uses the same illustration. He says, I'll come and sit at your table with you. We'll eat together. We'll become friends. And if you're here today and you say, I believe in Jesus, but man, I'm not right with him. I'm not following him. And today I just want to be right. I want to be made new with God. The Bible says, if you will just confess that, if you will just invite him in today, that regardless of where you're at and what's going on, he will meet you right where you are today. And he'll invite you to sit at his table, and he'll extend grace and mercy and forgiveness to you, and he'll welcome you into your family. But it starts with you acknowledging, Jesus, I need you.